A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this prompt about something I think a lot of people are feeling right now. The pace of AI development has gotten so fast that stepping away for even a couple of weeks means you miss entire feature categories. He mentioned taking time off for a move, coming back to cloud code, and discovering loops had become the new big thing, along with two model updates from Anthropic. His actual question is practical. What sources would we recommend for someone who wants a monthly briefing on significant AI developments? Something a bit back from the bleeding edge, where there's so much noise, and that summarizes the main breakthroughs at a more periodic pace.
This is genuinely one of the hardest problems in staying informed right now. The fire hose is real. I track this stuff daily and I still miss things. The joke about making coffee and missing a model release, it was funny 2 years ago, but it's barely a joke anymore. Anthropic shipped Claude Opus 4.8 and Claude Fable 5 in the span of what, 6 weeks? And those aren't minor point releases.
Fable 5 is the one that's basically a version of Mythos the public can access, right? I saw that TechCrunch piece.
And Mythos was their internal reasoning model that they'd been testing with select partners. Fable 5 brings a lot of that capability into a publicly available model. Meanwhile, Opus 4.8 raised the ceiling on their most capable tier. And that's just one company. In the same window, you've got whatever OpenAI is doing, whatever Google DeepMind is shipping, Meta releasing things, all the open source activity. It's not sustainable to follow it all in real time unless it's literally your job.
Even then, half of what gets announced turns out to be a demo that never ships, or a paper that gets walked back, or a benchmark that doesn't translate to actual usefulness. The noise-to-signal ratio is terrible at the bleeding edge. So the question is really about curation. Who's doing the work of filtering, contextualizing, and telling you what actually mattered after the dust settles?
And I want to be careful here because AI newsletter has become its own genre, and most of them are terrible. They're either hype machines trying to sell you something, or they're so technical that they're basically reprinting archive abstracts without any synthesis, or they're the opposite problem, so watered down that you're not learning anything you couldn't get from a CNN headline.
The AI influencer slop pipeline.
That's the musical equivalent of beige wallpaper, yes. So let me actually give you a structured answer here. I've been reading these things for years. I'm going to recommend 4 sources, and I think the combination of them covers different needs. The first one, and honestly the one I'd put at the top of the list, is Jack Clark's Import AI newsletter.
Jack Clark, co-founder of Anthropic.
Yes, and before that he was at OpenAI, and before that he was a journalist at Bloomberg and The Register. He's been writing Import AI since 2016. It comes out weekly, not monthly, but here's why I'm recommending it for someone who wants monthly consumption. You can absolutely read it once a month. He writes it in a way where each issue stands alone, and he does this thing where he flags what's actually important versus what's just noise. He'll say things like, "This paper matters because," or, "The following 3 things happened this week, and here's why they connect." It's not a fire hose. Each issue is maybe 8 to 10 items, and they're all contextualized.
He's got the weird stuff too, right? It's not just corporate announcements.
That's what I love about it. He'll cover a paper about robot locomotion from some lab in Japan, or a weird emergent behavior someone discovered in a vision model, or an AI policy development in the EU that nobody else is talking about. He has this section called Tech Tales at the end of each issue that's a short piece of speculative fiction, which I find oddly charming. But the core value is that he's an insider who writes like an outsider. He's not selling you on Anthropic, he's not pitching anything, he's just interested in what's happening, and he's good at explaining why it matters.
Does he disclose his Anthropic connection?
It's in every issue. And honestly, having someone who's inside one of the major labs but maintains editorial independence is more valuable than someone with no connections at all. He knows which rumors are real and which are nonsense. He doesn't report internal Anthropic stuff before it's public, but his analysis of the broader landscape is informed by actually understanding how these systems are built.
Okay, so import AI is the first recommendation. What's the second?
The batch from Andrew Ng's deeplearning.ai. This one is weekly as well, but again, you can batch it, no pun intended. It comes out every Wednesday. It's more structured than import AI. Each issue has a lead story that's a deeper analysis of one development, then a section called News with shorter items, and then a technical section. What's distinctive about the batch is that Andrew Ng writes a personal letter at the top of each issue, and he's very good at connecting AI developments to business and societal implications without being hyperbolic.
Andrew Ng is the former Google Brain guy, co-founded Coursera, taught that machine learning course everyone's taken.
That's him. And his perspective is useful because he's not affiliated with any one lab anymore. He's got his own ventures, he's on the board of Amazon, he's got a broad view. The batch tends to be a bit more corporate and a bit less weird than Import AI, but that's actually a useful compliment. Import AI will tell you about the strange research paper. The batch will tell you which Fortune 500 company just deployed something at scale and whether it worked.
Between those two, you're getting the research frontier and the deployment reality.
And neither one requires daily attention. You can let 3 or 4 issues pile up, read them on a Sunday afternoon, and you'll be caught up on everything that mattered.
What about something that's actually monthly? The prompt specifically asked for a monthly cadence.
Right, so my third recommendation is the AI Index Report from Stanford, HAI. This is monthly. Stanford's Institute for Human-Centered AI puts out a monthly digest that's part of their broader AI Index project. It's more data-driven than the others. They track things like number of publications, investment flows, benchmark performance over time, policy developments. It's less narrative and more quantitative. But if you want to know things like, how much did private AI investment change this quarter? Or which country published the most AI papers this year? This is the source.
That sounds drier, but also harder to find elsewhere. Nobody else is doing the longitudinal tracking.
Right, and the longitudinal piece is crucial because it's the antidote to hype. When you see a chart showing that image recognition error rates have been declining by about the same amount every year for a decade, a new model announcement feels less like a revolution and more like a data point on a trend. It helps you calibrate.
Another 3% on MMLU deflator.
And that calibration is what you lose when you're at the coalface, as the prompt put it. Everything feels like a breakthrough when you're watching it in real time. Stepping back to monthly or quarterly view, you realize most of it is incremental.
Okay, so that's 3. Import AI for the curated insider view, the batch for business and deployment context, Stanford HAI for data and trends. What's the 4th?
The 4th is a bit different. It's not a newsletter. It's a podcast, the AI Breakdown, specifically their long-form weekend episodes. During the week, they do daily briefings that are very news cycle driven. But the weekend episodes are these longer syntheses where they step back and say, here's what actually happened this week and why it matters. The host, Nathaniel Whitmore, is good at connecting dots across different stories. And the advantage of audio is you can listen while you're doing other things, which addresses the attention bandwidth problem.
The stack would be Import AI for depth, the batch for breadth, Stanford HAI for data, and AI Breakdown for audio synthesis. That's a solid set.
I want to emphasize something about the cadence. The prompt specifically asked about monthly briefings, and I think there's wisdom in that. But I'd actually recommend a hybrid approach, subscribe to weekly sources, and consume them monthly. The reason is that weekly sources tend to have more timely analysis, and if you read them in a batch once a month, you get the best of both worlds. The analysis is fresh, but your consumption is periodic. Monthly-only sources sometimes feel stale because they're written 2 or 3 weeks after the event.
The lag on a true monthly publication means the writer is synthesizing things that are already 3 to 4 weeks old, and by the time you read it, it's potentially 6 weeks old. Whereas if you read 4 import AI issues at once, you're getting analysis that was written within days of each development, but you're still only spending 1 session on it.
There's also something to be said for the filtering effect of time. When you read weekly issues in a monthly batch, you can instantly see which stories lasted and which ones didn't. The thing that got 3 paragraphs in 1 issue and was never mentioned again, that's noise. The thing that gets covered in 3 consecutive issues and then shows up in the Stanford report, that's signal.
Like adopting a feral cat. You don't know which one's going to stick around.
I'm not sure that analogy holds up under scrutiny, but I take your point.
What about the stuff that's not newsletters at all? I'm thinking about the HN problem specifically. The prompt mentions Hacker News, and HN is this weird mix of useful discussion and absolute garbage fire. The AI threads especially have gotten worse, as the field has gotten more attention.
HN's AI discussion has a specific pathology. Half the comments are from people who work at the labs and actually know what they're talking about, and the other half are from people who read one blog post and have extremely strong opinions. Distinguishing between them requires domain knowledge that most people don't have. That's the whole reason you're looking for curation in the first place.
The other problem with HN for AI News is that it's optimized for controversy, not importance. A paper that says we improve transformer attention by 2% gets 3 upvotes. A blog post that says transformers are a dead end gets 300 upvotes and 1,000 comments, regardless of whether it's true. The incentive structure is broken for this kind of information.
And that's why I didn't recommend any forum or social media as a source. The curation has to happen before it reaches you, not after. You need someone whose job is to read everything and tell you what mattered, not an algorithm that surfaces what generated engagement.
Let's talk about what you're actually trying to learn from these sources. Because I think there's a distinction between different kinds of AI news, and different sources serve different needs.
Break that down.
There's capability news, new models, new benchmarks, new things AI can do. There's product news, features shipping in tools you actually use, like the loops in Claude code that the prompt mentioned. There's policy and regulatory news, what governments are doing, what's being restricted. There's research news, new papers, new techniques, new architectures. And there's business news, funding rounds, acquisitions, enterprise adoption. These are different things, and nobody covers all of them equally well.
That's a really useful taxonomy, and I'd map the sources I recommended onto it. Import AI is strongest on research and capability news, with some policy. The batch is strongest on business and product news. Stanford HAI covers policy and macro trends. AI Breakdown tends to cover the intersection of business and policy.
If someone's primary interest is, what can AI actually do now that it couldn't do last month? Import AI is the best fit.
And if their primary interest is, what does this mean for my career or my company? The batch is probably the better starting point.
The prompt mentions having both a personal interest and a vested professional interest. So the person we're advising probably needs both lenses.
Right, which is why I recommended the combination rather than picking one. You don't need to read all 4 every month. You can rotate. One month you read Import AI and skim the batch. The next month you do the reverse. The key is having trusted sources that you can return to, rather than trying to drink from the fire hose in real time.
There's also the question of what you do with the information once you have it. One of the things I've noticed among people who follow AI closely is this anxiety that if they're not up to date on everything, they're falling behind. But most developments still require immediate action. Knowing about a new model 2 weeks after it launched versus 2 hours after it launched makes zero practical difference for almost everyone.
Unless you're a developer who needs to decide which API to use for a project you're starting today. But even then, the month-old analysis is often better than the day of hot take, because people have actually tested the thing by then.
The hot take economy is the enemy of understanding. The first 24 hours of reaction to any AI release is mostly vibes and benchmark screenshots. The useful analysis comes a week or two later, when people have actually built things with it and discovered where it fails.
There was a great example of this with Claude Opus 4.8. The day it launched, everyone was posting benchmark comparisons. 2 weeks later, people started reporting on specific tasks where it was dramatically better than the previous version, and also specific tasks where it was weirdly worse. That's the information you actually need, and it only emerges with time.
What about the people who are doing monthly roundups specifically? Are there any good ones that are natively monthly rather than weekly sources consumed monthly?
There's the TLDR AI newsletter, which is daily, but they also have a weekly roundup version. It's more link-focused than analysis-focused. They curate maybe 15 to 20 links per issue with one-sentence summaries. It's useful as a scan, but it doesn't replace the deeper sources. There's also Last Week in AI, which is a podcast and newsletter that does exactly what it sounds like, a weekly roundup. They've been doing it for years, they're consistent, and they cover the full range from research to policy to business.
Last Week in AI. I've listened to that one. The hosts have good chemistry. They're knowledgeable without being performative about it. They do a good job of saying, we don't fully understand this paper, but here's what we think is going on, which is honest in a way that a lot of AI commentary isn't.
That epistemic humility is rare and valuable. The worst AI commentary is the kind that speaks with total confidence about things the commentator clearly doesn't understand. Give me someone who says, I'm not sure about this part, over someone who confidently misrepresents a paper they skimmed.
We've got a solid set of recommendations. Let me try to synthesize this into something actionable. If I'm someone who wants to stay informed about AI but not be consumed by it, I'd set up the following. Subscribe to Import AI and The Batch. Read them once every 2 to 4 weeks in a batch. Add the Stanford HAI Monthly Digest for the data perspective. And if audio fits your life better than reading, substitute or add AI Breakdowns weekend episodes or Last Week in AI. That's maybe 2 to 3 hours a month total, and you'll be better informed than someone who spends 2 hours a day on AI Twitter.
And I want to add one point about this whole approach. The prompt mentions that disconnection is healthy and vital for gaining perspective. I think that's not just true, it's increasingly necessary. The people I know who have the best judgment about AI are not the ones who are online all the time. They're the ones who step away, think, and come back with fresh eyes. The monthly cadence isn't a compromise. It's actually a better way to understand what's happening.
There's a phenomenon where the people closest to a thing often have the worst perspective on it. They can't see the shape of it because they're inside it. Stepping back to monthly consumption isn't about being less informed. It's about being differently informed. You trade granularity for pattern recognition.
Pattern recognition is what actually matters for professional decisions. Knowing that model capabilities are improving on a certain trajectory is more useful than knowing the exact MMLU score of the latest release. Knowing that regulatory attention is shifting from one area to another is more useful than knowing the exact text of a proposed rule that might change 6 times before it passes.
The MMLU score thing is a perfect example of what not to pay attention to. It's become this proxy for, is the model good, that everyone cites and almost nobody understands the limitations of. The benchmark itself has known issues. The scores are often not comparable across different evaluations, and a 2-point improvement might be noise rather than signal, but it gets reported as a headline number every single time.
Import AI is actually good about this. Jack Clark regularly calls out when benchmark comparisons are misleading. He'll say things like, this paper reports a score of X on benchmark Y, but note that they used a different evaluation setup than the previous state of the art, so these numbers aren't directly comparable. That kind of methodological literacy is what separates useful curation from link aggregation.
The through line in all of our recommendations is find sources that do synthesis, not just aggregation. Anyone can collect links. The value is in someone saying these three things are connected. Or this announcement is less important than it seems because. Or the real story this month wasn't the thing everyone talked about, it was this other thing.
That synthesis work is hard. It requires actually understanding the field, not just being a good summarizer, which is why the list of good sources is short. There are hundreds of AI newsletters. Maybe 10 of them are worth your time.
Are there any we're missing that deserve mention? I'm thinking about more specialized sources for people with specific interests.
For people who want a policy focus, the Center for Security and Emerging Technology at Georgetown puts out good analysis, though it's not a regular briefing. It's more occasional deep dives. For people interested in the open source side, there's a newsletter called The Rundown that focuses specifically on open source AI developments. For the research frontier without any corporate lens, Arcs of Sanity is a tool that helps you track new papers in your areas of interest, but that's more hands-on than what the prompt is asking for.
The prompt is specifically asking for something back from the bleeding edge. So, Arcs of Sanity is probably too far in the other direction. That's for people who want to be at the coalface, but with better tools.
I mention it only for completeness. For the use case described, monthly consumption, significant developments only, noise filtered out, the core four are the right answer.
I want to return to something you said earlier about the anxiety of falling behind, because I think the emotional dimension of this is actually important, and it's part of what the prompt is gesturing at. There's this feeling in tech right now that if you're not constantly updating your knowledge, you're becoming obsolete. And AI moves fast enough that the feeling has some basis in reality, but the response to that feeling shouldn't be consume more information faster. It should be consume better information slower.
The obsolescence anxiety is real, but it's also manipulated. Every AI company has an incentive to make you feel like you're missing out if you're not paying attention to their latest release. Every AI influencer has an incentive to make you feel like you need their commentary to stay current. The entire ecosystem is designed to create FOMO and then sell you the cure.
The FOMO industrial complex.
And the monthly briefing approach is a direct rejection of that. It says, I'm going to step back, let the noise dissipate, and then learn what actually mattered. It's an information diet rather than an information binge.
It's also more respectful of your own time and attention. 2 to 3 hours a month versus 2 hours a day. That's the difference between having a life and not having one. And for most professionals, the marginal value of that extra 58 hours of AI news consumption is basically zero. You're not making better decisions. You're just more anxious.
There's actually research on this. Information overload leads to worse decisions, not better ones. When you consume too much information, you start overfitting to noise. You see patterns that aren't there. You react to things that don't matter. The monthly cadence forces you to focus on the signal.
The advice is, the prompt is asking the right question. The instinct to step back and find periodic sources rather than real-time ones is correct. And the specific sources we're recommending. Import AI, The Batch, Stanford HAI, AI Breakdown, or Last Week in AI are the ones that actually deliver on that promise.
I'd also add, don't feel like you need to read everything in every issue. Even with curated sources, you can skim. Read the headlines, read the ones that seem relevant to your interests, skip the rest. The goal is not comprehensive knowledge. The goal is enough understanding to make good decisions and spot important changes.
The goal is to be informed, not to be a completist. There's no prize for reading every word of every newsletter.
Although if there were, I would win it.
You absolutely would. You'd have a trophy and everything.
I'd put it next to my DJ equipment.
Of course you would.
One more thing I want to mention, and this is a bit of a tangent, but it connects. The prompt mentions Claude code specifically, and discovering that loops had become a big thing. Loops are a feature where Claude code can iterate on its own output. It writes code, tests it, sees the error, fixes it, tests again, all in a loop without the human having to prompt each step. It's a significant capability shift, and it arrived while the prompt's author was away for a couple of weeks.
Which perfectly illustrates the problem. 2 weeks away, and a whole new interaction paradigm appears.
Here's the thing. You don't need to know about loops the day they launch. You need to know about them when you sit down to use the tool again. A monthly briefing would catch that perfectly. The week it launched, you'd have missed it if you were on your break. The monthly roundup at the end of that month would tell you, hey, this new thing exists. Here's what it does. Here's why it matters. That's exactly the right latency for this kind of information.
The right latency for a feature that changes how you work is before the next time you do that work, not within 15 minutes of the announcement.
And for most people, the gap between feature is announced and feature is actually useful to me is measured in weeks or months, not hours. So the real-time consumption is purely for entertainment or anxiety management, not for practical value.
Unless your job is writing about AI, in which case, my condolences.
My condolences to myself, I suppose.
And you love it. Don't pretend you don't.
But I also recognize that my information consumption habits are not a model anyone should emulate. I'm a donkey who reads archive papers for fun. That's not a prescription.
It's a cautionary tale. And now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
In the 1940s, scientists believed the Aleutian population of honeybees had developed a unique waggle dance dialect to communicate the location of nectar sources across the archipelago's long distances. The dialect was thought lost when the population collapsed. In 2021, researchers studying a remote island and the chain recorded dance patterns matching the historical descriptions exactly, suggesting the dialect had survived in an isolated colony for over 70 years.
Bees have dialects.
I had no idea bees had regional accents.
That's going to sit with me.
This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by the inscrutable Hilbert Flumingtop. If you want to dig deeper on anything we discussed today, all our episodes live at myweirdprompts.com.
If you found this useful, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show, and it makes Herman feel validated.
I don't need validation. I need more people to read Import AI.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.